Let's remain standing as you pick your Bible to Matthew 25, and let's look at that parable again. Matthew 25, and I will read from verse 1. Matthew 25 from verse 1. Just for emphasis, the first word there says then. You know, if you don't read it properly, you will not get the meaning of, you will get the proper context. You can decide to say then, but it will mean different from then. Then means future. Correct? So that is how you must read it to understand it. So then, future, shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." May the Lord grant us understanding of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Amen. It's a Bible study, so I expect you to follow. One of the reasons I personally allow the liberty, I create the liberty of question and answer, is to afford people to express themselves, to express your understanding. And let me tell you, I am not among the ministers that claim some absolute authority of the word. Any man that thinks he knows God, so today he has arrived, is evidence he doesn't know God. And that is the problem with most preachers. Because you're a pastor and you have the privilege of standing and teaching people, does not mean you know more than the people listening to you. And so we should be ready to learn. Remember that the righteousness of God is revealed through the preaching of the gospel from faith to faith. Romans chapter 1 verse 16 says so. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. 16:17 says so. Faith to faith there is from revelation to revelation. From revelation to revelation. If you have the Holy Ghost, you are sensitive, and you put up an attitude of wanting to know God, He will be revealing Himself to you every day, and He reveals Himself in various ways. And He can reveal Himself to you through the way a child is playing. He can reveal Himself to you by nature. He can reveal Himself to you in everything around. So when you begin to come to an estate that you think that you know so much until you have become infallible, what the devil will push you into is to push you to a place of pride. So you'll be so proud because you have presented yourself as a man that is infallible. You arrogated to yourself a position of knowledge, authority in a revelation that everybody else should listen to you. And any other person that tries to say anything contrary, you begin to, you know, wire the person as if, and then label him all manner of things because he refused to take your own understanding of what the scripture says, and he brings pride. Now the effect of that is that even when obvious error you have, or mistake you've made, or an error you have preached, is presented before you, because of the position you have arrogated to yourself, you'll be too proud to accept it. I don't want to be that type of preacher. I don't want. Let me assure you, church, and anybody listening to me around the world, anything I preach here, and tomorrow I see a further light, I will come here and correct myself. I will come and correct myself. But there's one prayer I pray every day before my God. Lord, there are people that are following me. There are people that are staking their faith on what I say. Lord, let me not mislead them. Let me not mislead them. And I know you will answer that prayer. Praise the Lord. So please, if you think otherwise, anything I preach and you see otherwise, feel free. My phone number is with everybody. Text me. I will invite you. All of you who do that, you know I invite you. I say, open your own. I open my own. And then let's look at it. Amen. Feel free. Tell me, no, this is what I say. Because, and please, use the Bible. Don't tell me what you feel. Somebody called me from Sapele yesterday. And, you know, was telling me about this same foolish virgin thing because of the comment I made earlier. And then, after I showed him, see what the Bible says, see here. He was saying, but Brother Abraham said, but William Branham said, then I said, which scripture did William Branham quote to support what he was saying? He was still trying to argue. I said, excuse me, sir. I am quoting the Bible. You are quoting William Branham. You are even quoting the man that said, if he say anything contrary to this Bible, we should drop his own and hold the Bible. What is your problem? So don't come to me and tell me one great preacher that you are following said it is, therefore I should follow it, even when I see it different. And to start with, Pastor Weston from Joss, we spoke yesterday also, and there was something he told me. He said, please, what is the importance of this doctrine, whether they will be, the foolish virgin will be in the millennium or not? What is the big deal over it? Why are we trying to make an issue out of it? I say it is because it's a Bible doctrine. If it is not important, Christ will not take all that time speaking about it. I said, but it is important because there is something there that will help support other scriptures. Like Apostle Paul will say, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. And Apostle Peter said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And then Jesus himself said, many are called, but few are chosen. So the foolish virgins and the wise virgin parable there helps us understand why they made those statements. And what are we supposed to do? It is our own effort to make our calling and election sure. So it is important. Now, in the parable we read, take note of this. They are virgins. Amen. But these virgins, some are foolish and some are wise. So we want to look at also the meaning of who a virgin is, who a fool is, and we want to look at what is the meaning of wisdom, and what is it that qualifies one to be wise. From the parable, we want to look at also what that lamp signifies, what the oil signifies. And he said the door was shut. Which door was shut? Door to where was shut? And finally, he told them, although they are virgins, he said, I know you not. What therefore makes him or makes you to be known of him? What qualifies you to be known of him? If we are able to answer this, then we'll be able to know who the foolish virgins are and what their fate will be. I tried to look at the Webster dictionary to see the meaning of folly. And it says, folly is a lack of good judgment. Folly is the fact of doing something stupid. Folly is an activity or idea that shows a lack of judgment. So it is, folly, amen, as a noun now, folly, this is what folly is, a lack of good judgment. Therefore, or a fact of doing something stupid. So, now who is a fool? The same dictionary also tells me that a fool is a person who you think behaves or speaks in a way that lacks intelligence or good judgment. So he is a fool. So what does it mean now to be foolish? To be foolish, therefore, is to put up actions or behaviors not showing a good sense or good judgment. You are foolish. Okay, now, the second thing we want to get is wisdom. What is wisdom? It's the ability to make sensible decisions and give good advice. I say it again. The ability to make sensible decision and give good advice is called wisdom. That ability is called wisdom. So you are wise, that is, you are wise if you are a person that is able to make sensible decisions and give good advice. You are termed wise. And a virgin now, according to the Webster dictionary, it says a virgin is a person who has never had sex. A virgin is a person with no sexual experience. So when we spiritualize it, then we'll be able to understand this parable better. And let's move on now. I want you to get this point. You have to get it, somebody. If you miss it, it's on tape. Go and get it and listen to it over and over again. Especially the followers of the ministry of William Branham worldwide, who take every statement William Branham makes as thus said the Lord, who believe William Branham is infallible. Even when you present statements that seem to contradict themselves made by the same man, which is opportunity for his followers to see that he is human. No. They decide to go the way they want to go. But the wise will understand. Amen. This parable of the foolish virgin only aims to let us know who will be in the millennium. Who will be in the millennium and who will not be in the millennium. There are the two groups of believers at then, at that time, at the coming of the Lord. Foolish virgins exist only within the living elements when Christ will be coming. Those who will be alive when Christ will be coming. So, in the six church ages, you don't talk about foolish virgins. Foolish virgin is the activity, and wise virgins are the activity at the coming of the two groups of people at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the rapture. That is important to take note. It's a, and it's very important to note who was he saying these statements to? Who was he saying these statements to? Matthew 21. Let's read it. Matthew 21, verse 31 and verse 32. Amen. He made a statement when he spoke about the parable of the two sons. Okay, let me read it from verse 20 so that we just get the picture properly. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go walk today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second son now and said, likewise. And that second son answered and said, I go, sir. And did not go. He went not. Now verse 31 and verse 32, my emphasis. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? Which of them did the will of the father? They said unto him, the first. Now, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that is a statement, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And you, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. See the emphasis here. The publicans, who are the publicans? They are the horrible tax collectors. Very wicked. They dreaded them. Very corrupt. You don't pay, they had the power to jail you. So they were dreaded people. Nobody, they had no respect before holy people because of all the wickedness they were doing, bribery, corruption, everything they were doing. They can collect anything, you know. They were horrible. And now, another horrible group are prostitutes, harlots. But here Jesus Christ is saying that verily I say unto you, he said that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. I'm trying to bring out something here that will help those of us who think that we are too righteous. And one of the reasons why many of us, and God forbid, we fall within the category of the foolish virgins. And why also many of us cannot have the leadership of the Spirit of God. We cannot move with God. And many of this group are found in the Abraham movement, otherwise known as the end-time message believers. Now he said another thing. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. He said, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Not everyone. Only those who will do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Take note. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. See, listen very well. All that God is trying to achieve from the cross of Calvary, in fact, from the Garden of Eden, where man fell, God has been in the process of restoring man back to what he had intended it to be. What is redemption? What is salvation? It is God's own way. It's God's own process of bringing back man to inhabit this earth as he had proposed it. People are looking at the kingdom of God as one day we will all move away and go and stay in some glorious atmosphere in heaven, and then we are walking in a street that is made of gold, and because of the way the writer portrays that glorious period. But let me tell you this, amen. God created this earth to be inhabited. What is the meaning of a kingdom? A kingdom is a domain that is ruled by a king. Hey, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Adam was supposed to be a king on earth here. He lost it. So that there had to be another king, another Adam. The Bible calls him the last Adam. So don't lose sight of that, so that you'll understand the picture. Anytime you hear in the Bible, in the New Testament, the kingdom. The kingdom there is the 1,000 years reign of Christ on earth. All that we are doing, all that God is doing with all of us, all that we are striving is to be part of that glorious period when Satan and all the wicked forces will be bound and put in a bottomless pit. Imagine how this world will be. No wickedness again. No pollution. No death. Imagine how this world will be. Where Christ himself is on earth here, physically ruling. And ruling with a group of people. He's not coming to rule alone. He's coming to rule with a group of people. And it is those group of people that he's going to rule with that he has been gathering since he left the cross and went to glory. All these ages, because he will not rule alone. He's going to rule as a king, he will rule with a queen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to have this at the back of your mind. That when it comes to Israel, that thing just came to me as I was on my way coming to church. Amen. As far as Israel is concerned, I am beginning to understand the covenant that God has with Israel. I'm now beginning to understand why Apostle Paul, hallelujah, spoke in Romans chapter 11. Can we read it? In Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. He says, "For I will not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Now verse 26. He said, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." My mind went to a scripture, but there was no time for me to search for it. If anybody sees it, you let me know, the ministers and who else. That I now begin to understand why God says that, I'm paraphrasing, in a scripture where he says that only Israel is the only family, is only inheritance he has on earth. Is there any scripture like that? Anybody seen that scripture? He said the only inheritance that he has on earth, God himself said, Israel is his only inheritance on earth. The scripture was, that statement was all flashing. I said, okay. The whole world, he has condemned all of them. The only person he has on earth was Abraham and his seed by his covenant with them. Therefore, Israel's relationship with God is not about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Israel is about a covenant he has with them. So which covenant? And it's an everlasting covenant. You've seen it. He said it's Deuteronomy 32 verse 9. Can we confirm it? Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 9. For the Lord's portion in this world, his portion. Don't we say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? But he said that for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob, that is Israel, is the lot. That is all he has of his inheritance. Well, the rest of us, Uncle? No, it's this morning I understood that statement. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The covenant that God has with Israel is not with the same kind of covenant we have. Now, among Israel, there is a group that he called elect. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He called them elect. They are the ones that will also sit with him and judge in the millennium. They are the first fruit, as we see in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, only Jews were there. Because salvation was for them. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's for this elect that he gave the Holy Ghost. And those elect, they are still available now. There are still Jews that are receiving Holy Ghost now. There are Jews that are believing the gospel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when he says so, all Israel will be saved. Saved from what? All Israel will be saved. It's not saved. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Are they coming? I believe with the whole of my heart, any Jew that is dead. Listen. Any Jew that is dead now and has not received the Holy Ghost, there will be no resurrection. Any Jew that will resurrect are only those who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If the spirit of him that raised up Christ dwell in you. It will quicken your mortal body. That is the assurance. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Now, but there is a picture here of the end time. He said, so all Israel will be saved. Saved from what? There is, as soon after the rapture has taken place, things will happen. Israel is the nation that is among the few. It's one of the group of people that God continues with his covenant. Hallelujah. Because Christ is supposed to come and sit upon the seat of his father David. That means that the kingship of David, amen, continues. The lineage continues. It is that seat he will sit. To rule who? David was not ruling the whole world. David was ruling only Israel. Praise the Lord. So, first and foremost, the kingship is to rule Israel. First and foremost. And he's not going to rule empty ground. He is going to rule an element of people that will be alive. From there also, take dominion over the whole earth, because the sealed book of redemption, titled Deeds of Ownership of this Earth, the CFO of this world, is with him now. He's now the king of we kings. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, so I believe that when the shaking will be going on in Revelation chapter 12, they are sent somewhere. They are protected somewhere. While the Antichrist system is going on and persecuting them, there is a protection for them. And God specially protects them. That is why he said all Israel will be saved. Praise the Lord. So, Israel as a nation, therefore, comes to be among those that will repopulate the earth. It is part of his covenant with them. They are the only portion he has on earth. The rest, firewood. Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Saved by grace. So that you will understand. You see, there is a reason why God gives us this revelation. It humbles you. It humbles you. It removes pride as a Gentile. And that's all in Romans chapter 11. That's all that Apostle Paul is trying to teach us there. Don't begin to think you are something, no. Because that blindness is in part. It's covenant with Israel. It's not broken. So now, take note. When we talk about the kingdom, it's the millennium kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, who was he also speaking to? When he says in Matthew, in Luke chapter 13, let's read it. Luke chapter 13. In Luke chapter 13, amen. And verse 28, 29, 30. Where he says, after he spoke about striving to enter, for the time is going to come when once the Lord has stood up and shut the door, you begin to speak from outside. Now verse 28, he said, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Who was he talking to? When he said, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And hallelujah. But you yourself, you will be thrust out. And then he added there, verse 30, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. All these places, Matthew 21, Matthew chapter 7, Luke chapter 13, we are just quoted, he was talking to the Jews. Who was he talking to? He was talking to religious people. The average Jew sees himself more righteous than anybody else. In fact, he does not believe that other human beings are real human beings. He is special. We are uncircumcised. They are circumcised. Their God has proved to them beyond all reasonable doubt that there is no other God like him. So they know they are serving the true God. And they know they are special people. Praise the Lord. But here he is saying here that the first shall be last. And the last shall be first. What does he mean by that statement, saying the first shall be last and the last shall be first? Of course, we have tried to look at it several times. A scripture, you can see so many light from it. You can see so many things that make salvation clearer and easier and sharper. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, sorry. More scriptures are coming to me. Thank you very much. Psalm 78, verse. Amen. Psalm 78 verse 71 also confirm that Israel, Jacob, is his inheritance. From following the house, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. He referred to Israel as his inheritance. I know I came across this scripture several times. Each time I read it, I will say, what of the rest of the world? Is he not our creator? Is he not the one that created us? Why is he saying only Israel? It's simple. All have sinned and fallen short of his glory. His own by election came to get a nation for himself to show forth his glory and of course continue his divine agenda. And through that agenda he will pick the rest of us from Gentile. And after he has picked us, the rest, firewood. Kai, Jesus. If you don't make the rapture, no second chance. It's lake of fire. I pray that God will help me to say this thing in a way that somebody will stop joking with eternal destination. And this is the problem that most people have. And that is why he said the first shall be the last. We said the first is Israel. The second is the Gentile church. There are the two churches that he has. There are the two children he has. Israel and the Gentile church. The first that he called out from Egypt was Israel. And the second is us. But as far as going in the rapture is concerned and enjoying the glory of God is concerned and his divine agenda, Israel rejected him. That is why you have the parable of the two sons where we just read. Israel rejected him, and now the last, which is we now, amen, we become the first to go in the rapture and be with him. Before he keeps us there in the palace, before he comes back to reveal himself. Which was demonstrated when Jacob wanted to bless the children of Joseph in Egypt, Ephraim and Manasseh. And the right hand is supposed to be on the senior one, who is supposed to have the blessing of inheritance. And then the second hand is, the left hand is supposed to go to the junior, and then instead he crossed it and letting us know it was foreshadowing that they were by the way of the cross. Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham will cross over to the Gentiles. We are blessed. Hallelujah. You remember that Joseph was protesting. He said, no, why do you do this? He said, leave it like that. Now God will do them. It's God that did it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But let's look at it again now. He said the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. So we can go further. That why was he saying that? Why will the first be the last? That is even applicable to every one of us here now that believe we know. Amen. I'm speaking, the denomination don't even know what we're talking about. So you know this message is only for the bride. Worldwide. Are they here? Are they here? Are they here? Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. So it is those who had the shout, those who believe that they know, we all of us, we know. Even sitting down here, some of you know how you do your evangelism. You know how you do your evangelism. You go with pride. Do you know the Pope is a Catholic? They talk so. They tell, now evangelize, you want to evangelize around. You see, they say, see these serpent seeds. What do you know? We are bride. We are bride. Proud. Listen, church. There's a statement that Brother Cosmos Maduka made last Friday night in my office when we were looking at behavior of enter message believers. He himself, he has met some. And he said, people don't even understand what the enter message is. He said the enter message is a message calling out people to be into the image of Christ. He said, you are in the message only if you are able to achieve that. That one can see you and see Christ. Then you are in the message. The thing hit me like a blow. I said, no wonder this man is as humble as anything. I said, no wonder, as wealthy as he is, nothing about that wealth means anything to him. Do you see it reflect in the way he dresses or anything? Nothing trouble him. He said, Brother Moses, he said, do you know that he caught people. Hallelujah. Remember, I had a revelation here one Friday vigil concerning him. They want to pull down his company by fraud. After service in the office, he was telling me, you know, he said that thing was discovered that week, the week of that Friday, he was saying. And that they were in the police station. And how they gang up. And within how many months or so, 2 or 3 months or so, they had collected almost ₦1 billion. His own staff. And you know what? He said he will catch them. When he catches them, he said all the management will say, no, let him go to jail. No, let him go to jail. He said he will tell them, hold on. There are people that are feeding behind this man. Will you think you are dealing with this man? You are dealing with every member of the family and everybody that is depending on him. He said he may, let's give him the option. Amen. He said, return what you have stolen. The most they can collect, they will collect. And then you tell him, I know psychologically you cannot fit in here anymore because everybody will be looking at you as a thief. So let's give you the option so that you can get a job somewhere else. Put in your resignation letter so that they will say you resign. Only a Christian will do that. The day he told me, I said, sir, I am seeing a righteous man now. If not me. Aya! Then I'll be justifying myself. Am I in the message? That's why I emphasized the other day that the true bride, I said it last Sunday or so, and I'll continue to say it because I believe it. Church, you are not a Christian because you hold Bible. You are not a Christian because you are a preacher. You are not a Christian because you are anointed. You are a Christian because
You are the image of Christ. That is our destiny. That is our destiny. People lose sight of it. They stop their head with intellectual understanding of the scripture, which puffs us up. And the character is rotting. That is the problem we have. The message, Christ is coming soon, and is coming for a group of people in this end time. Other ages, they have fulfilled their own requirement. We have our own requirement to also fulfill. We are to put on the image of Christ. I said it last week. I said that whoever gave birth to you, there will be traces of who gave birth to you. It matters. The reason why human beings behave the way we behave, come out, you know, a little child, you know, is born, and even before he can even say anything, he knows how to fight. He knows how to fight. Now, you know now, little child that cannot say anything, already there is fight in him. Amen. The reason is because every woman at the point of delivery, watch the thing where they talk. That is where you're going to cuss. Is there any woman where you're born picking, they say hallelujah? Is there any woman where they born picking, they say thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus? Oh, oh, which can team is this? Which can team? You are standing there, you are looking at me. You are looking at me. You know the cause? You are looking at me. When that picking come out, which anointing follow him? Now fight! But our own mother, spiritual mother that gave birth to us, during the birth pains, on the cross of Calvary, as he was going to give birth to us, what were the words that he spoke? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. All of us here, we need deliverance from the spirit of unforgiveness, from the spirit of do me and do you, from the effect of anger. I don't know how many of us sitting down here now, including me here, all of us here now, and you watching me now. I don't know how many of us truly, truly, truly from your heart, be very sincere with yourself before I'm going to ask you a question and you put up your hand. I want to see you and know you. That you know all the frustration you have gone through in life. See the person with the door. And then you are presented with the opportunity to deal with the person. In fact, without even opportunity, what's your feeling towards that person? Anytime you see him, whether you will still love that person the way Bible expects us to love. Can I see your hand up? We are sincere. Who? Stand up, make us. God bless you, man. May I be like you. May I be like you. Oh yeah, she's saying it confidently because she knows the kind of Christian faith. Yes. I can believe you because I have been close to you. And I know a few things about you. And I know she's a Christian. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know she's a Christian. But majority of us, if we want to be sincere, how do I know? What's your prayer point against your enemy? Hey! Any woman when one call my husband, hey, he go stand up. Praise the Lord.